You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Mimiverse. Oh, she's the cat's meow. What if she stole the pan? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast. In this special edition, we're calling this one the Tory Cast. That's right, Tory Fox. The little word about this podcast was it was completely impromptu. It was done the same night as we did the Jim Norgard one, which, if I'm not mistaken, was done back in February of 2012. We just were looking at each other and decided, hey, let's sit down and interview Tory. Why we're releasing it now? Well, because it makes sense if you think about it. You've started to hear a lot of Tory in a lot of these podcasts, but yet for a lot of listeners, she's kind of an unknown quantity. So maybe this podcast will give you a bit of a backstory. Little disclaimer here, full disclosure, this originally was about an hour and a half long. We edited a lot of it out because, again, we were going really late into the night and we're all really tired and we started talking about some really silly stuff. So we chopped it all down, just got to the meat of it all. Actually, my wife Rube did all that, so thank you, dear. And here we go, the Tory Cast. Hope you enjoy it.
And we're back!
Oh, my goodness.
And we're here.
And we're here.
And we're here.
This is a
supplemental.
Supplemental little addition to the podcast entries. We're here with a completely unscripted guest.
You're welcome.
Chris Sprunger on us.
You've heard her before if you listen to the Year in Review podcast.
Or Catherine Hansen's.
Or Catherine Hansen's.
Or you can hear her in the distant background in the ValleyCon podcast. She does ask, or was that your sister?
That was my sister.
Oh, damn it.
Can't tell you apart.
She's got more of a nasally voice.
Wow.
She speaks a lot higher like this, but it's not quite as masculine. Mm.
Tara?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. It's like she was here.
Sisterly love.
That's right. This is Tory the Toronite Fox is in with us today. And
she's
mortally
she's
embarrassed.
She's a second level lambent mimtologist.
Second level.
She's working on her lambency. Lambent mimtologist. She's about to reach third level. She's in the process of making an actual Omani costume.
And she will ascend, because I know you'll be at the premiere for House of Ghosts.
Sure, better be. So, yeah.
We're not even 4 minutes in, and we've already
That's
went.
Perfect.
All right, so seriously,
Tory
will not be allowed into the premiere. I just, the Fox sisters must get dolled up. Because if I have to wear a suit,
I don't have to
do that. I do too. All right, we should talk to Tory.
Could
talk all night.
Sorry, we could devolve all night long.
Until I fall asleep like a little kitty on the corner.
Or in front of the fridge.
Right.
Do the de-evolution, baby.
Do we want to talk about Fargo Part 2?
Let's talk about Fargo. Let's talk about Tory and how she came to become a second-level mimetologist.
Yes. We did the ValleyCon back in the 2011, the weekend before Halloween, if memory serves, and it was a group of us. It was Chris and Shannon McDonough, Rylan Bachman, Sid Corpy, Anthony Kazor, myself, and Ruby all
Michael
went
Kaiser.
Up there. Oh, and
that was actually Bomb Bomb.
Yep.
But we know Michael Kaiser doesn't say two words. And he gets freaked out at the sight of any woman.
Especially Tory.
Especially Tory.
Tory's his mortal enemy.
Yes.
I mean, in the last podcast, I actually...
Michael called
came
him out
said,
on it.
Hey, and she said, what's up, guys?
See?
I mean, that was amazing. That was like... I don't know. It was like watching cold fusion happen in front of you.
I offered him nibs.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. It's like the world did end that night. We're living in an alternate reality. Someone came back in time.
This is a parallel timeline right now.
Yeah, seriously. They fixed the whatever. And
yeah.
It happened.
That'd be awesome.
It's getting late. We're getting weird already.
So anyway, how we met Tori.
We met Tori. We were all manning the booth that we had. This is the same convention that Chris won his Roger Corman Award.
That I love.
That he has framed in his basement. I've seen it.
You'll remember the supplemental podcast that we put out.
Yes. Yep. And Tori and her sister Tara and their father, Ryan, came by and visited the booth because we were the second most, I guess, inhabited booth at the convention.
We were definitely pretty popular.
And I think the only one was awesome.
You guys didn't look homeless.
No, we didn't look homeless. I think we were the second most populated booth the entire convention. I think the Manticorians beat us out. Well,
our booth was like an eighth of the size of theirs.
That's true. What? And we sold more than them, too.
The Royal Manticorian Army.
Those guys with the
Navy guys.
Yeah, they had the Navy with the black things. And they were very cool, but I couldn't get into their books because, man, those are, yeah. Anywho. So we got to ray of
sunshine. It's the song.
Sorry, go ahead.
What was that?
Nothing. It's the song.
I didn't
song.
Hear it all. What song?
It's just it's nothing. Keep going.
My Little Pony song? And we got to know Tori and her sister Tara very well. They basically didn't leave our booth for too very long.
Excuse me.
And they were very cool, and they introduced us to their father, I believe, on the second day.
Nope. My sister and I happened to jump into the movie tent Friday night when you guys were showing Moon Zombies in the main atrium. And then we were basically hiding from some creepy dude. And then we left, and then...
Some random creepy Fargo dude?
Hopefully not that creepy dude on the Segway.
No. Anyways, and then... Like, we came back later, and the movie was ending, and then Dad was talking to Sid Corby and Anthony Kayser, and Anthony and Sid dragged us and my dad back to the booth, and we sat there and we talked for a bit, so.
Yeah, see?
I don't know who all was there, though.
But I do distinctly remember you and Tara coming over on Saturday morning. And, Tori had on this zombie makeup that was familiar, but I can't remember what it's from at the moment. I apologize.
Fallout 3.
Thank you. Very well put together costume. She hung out with us the whole time. We got to know her, and she's a fun gal.
She took to the verse very quickly and completely.
And completely.
It was the zombie.
Something about her just we got our hooks in her, and we're not letting go.
And I'm going to say right now, I think there was a little bit of a...
love connection?
It was a one-way love connection on Michael Kayser, because he was kind of looking at you.
I think the love connection was actually between Tori and the Moon Zombie costume.
Fair. See, I'll buy
just,
that.
Just the way he was standing there and doing the hands and like looking at that weird little spinny thing, I just had to know, I'm like, that's awesome. It just...
Yep, see, it's all the costume. It's like Dory wouldn't necessarily date Michael unless he was an actual moon zombie.
How do you take that home to mom and dad?
Yeah.
He doesn't talk say much. Anything, but he'll try to shoot spores at you. Just laugh it off.
It's not personal.
just you're so silly. Stop that.
There's a YouTube video in that somewhere.
Something.
There's a lot of photos of it too. I think there's some somewhere. I think it's on your page.
There's a viral video we could make out of that, bringing the moon zombie home to meet mom and dad.
That would be funny.
Oh, boy.
Could be our Christmas thing. Bringing the moon zombie over for Christmas.
It's literally, you know, you got the girl. She's coming in. She's like, okay, I'm going to be bringing... My boyfriend's coming over. I'm excited for you to meet him. He's
be
very quiet.
Best behavior, he's really
just
quiet.
Don't worry about it. He's all right. And he comes in, and he just stands there. Everyone sort of looks at each other, and then he shoots him with spores. The end.
Yeah.
That's
a pretty great card.
Way to end the world, Tori. God.
So
she did it for love, okay?
I know.
We've decided that she represents the under 25 group of everyone out there who's listening and watches the movies.
Literally, she represents it. She's the only one.
Yep. Well, that don't have Mim after their name.
That's right.
Mim or Kazar.
Even then, they probably don't even really listen. So.
Well, actually, I know I've told this story before, but I don't think on a podcast. Well, no, maybe I have. Kate and Fletcher's boys are completely obsessed with this movie.
Moon Zombies?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Stretching time.
Bad problems.
Good times.
Sandbagging.
Good times.
Well, yeah, and these are not the greatest chairs.
Sorry.
What are you talking about? They make my ass hurt.
Make my ass hurt, man, for sure. You Mark? Got the nice ones. Yeah. We'll keep this short because Ruby tired.
Ruby Hulk tired. Smash.
And let's not get too caught up in the triple X. She's got a boyfriend.
That's right.
Probably kick our ass.
He will destroy. Tell us about yourself. What do you like to do for fun?
Do you like long walks on the beach?
Racquetball.
World of Warcraft.
I like Minecraft.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Like Legos.
All of a sudden. Oh.
I like Legos.
She says Minecraft and we're all like, what?
I've heard the words.
Yeah, like. Maybe that shows
I'm out of touch,
I like Frogger.
Man.
How old
I make
we
movies
are.
That would come out in 1958. What I mean, I made a video game that would be right at home in 1983, so I don't know what. I've just given up on the future. The only thing I want from the future is to make it easier to make movies that should have been made in the past. So tell us, what was your first impression of the verse?
I thought you guys were kind of like an odd bunch.
That's about right.
It's fairly
like,
accurate.
I didn't know what to think, you know? I wasn't like. Just by glancing at your table, you guys look totally different from each other. Like, you guys wouldn't have anything in common. You know? I mean, but after, you know, talking with you guys a little bit, I slowly pieced together what you guys had in common, you know?
Our goofiness. Our goofy love.
No, she has a very astute observation. I mean, because if you were to take the look at, the seven of us that were there, I mean, yeah, it's like, what are these guys all about?
Yeah.
You know? Makes no sense. So.
Well, even when you see Michael, he looks like your average kind of baseball fan. You know, I mean, he doesn't really come off as someone who you would necessarily normally see at a sci-fi convention.
Not
you
at
know?
All.
He's the guy kind of guy you'd see at a freaking Twins game, you know, or whatever. You see, then, you know, Sid and Anthony were there, and they're all dolled up in 50s vintage wear, you know?
Well, Sid more so than Anthony.
Well, but Anthony, you know, he had that sweater, that, you know, Ward Cleaver get-up going on. And then there's me, who's just like Mr. Jeans and a T-shirt, you know?
And crazy hair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm jeans, T-shirt, flannel. I look like some holdover from 1993, you know?
I'm like going. And she was totally.
Shannon was totally, yeah, pin-up looking, you know.
I was like, what is she doing here? Exactly.
And then Rylan, the creepy lurker that we love so well.
We tease Rylan a lot. I know we're talking to Tori, but I just got to take an aside real quick. We tease Rylan a lot, but he is a really good guy. He's got crazy ideas, and I'll be the first to admit it. A lot of his crazy ideas I don't see, I don't get.
But the ones we've acted on have been awesome.
But
he was Mr. Esperanto.
For every one or two ideas that he has that are just completely insane and off the wall, he'll come up with one or two that are just insanely ingenious.
And totally out of left field.
And nobody else would think of it, and he's a really nice guy, so I'm glad he's my friend. Anywho.
Well, and then Mark and Ruby, who just look like, I mean,
we're about to. I think we're the most normal people. Looking. I guess I don't know.
I think normal looking. The two of you just look kind of. I mean,
yeah,
average nerds.
We're
average nerds.
We could I'll fit in at a Star Trek convention and at an insurance convention. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You wouldn't look out of place in either. So I don't know. I'm sorry. Continue.
So we were a merry little band of weirdos.
Right.
We're the Muppets.
I was just going to say, not unlike the Muppets.
And that appealed to you.
Yeah.
You wanted to join our merry little band of Muppet weirdos.
It was just a happy accident that we were both, I mean, because we're from the cities, and you weren't originally from the cities, but you live here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just kind of, the stars aligned, as it were.
I guess so. we got talking to you guys. I'm like, these guys seem pretty cool to hang out with. And I got kind of sad. And I'm like, they're probably from, like, Indiana or something. Or, like, Ohio.
But
and
no.
Then, like, and then, like, I heard you guys were, like, from the cities. I'm like, crap. All right.
Nice.
I'm in.
Right.
What do I buy in? So what was your first reaction to the Moon Zombies,
Moon
right?
Zombies on Saturday night.
And what was your reaction upon seeing it? Were you surprised? Were you happily surprised? Were you just like, this is about what I expected? I mean, what was your reaction?
My reaction was, holy crap, this is awesome. At the same time, I'm like, wait, people can still actually make movies like this and it still be this good? So I guess it was a happy surprise.
I'll take that. That's good. Because I remember when we were sitting in there watching the movie, I always, when I go to screenings, I was sitting in the back and I watched the people watch it because I don't need to see it again. And I was more or less watching your table.
Right.
Watching you and your sister pretty much lose it half the time.
Well, actually, Tara lost it more than I did. She actually broke down in hysterics.
Laughing your butts off.
Right. I kind of laughed and looked at her more than I did the screen because, like, she was at times funnier than the movie because she was just crazy.
But I appreciate that. I like that reaction. I mean, there's some people that it seems like that see it and they just instantly get it and they sort of want to be a part of it. You know what I mean? They want to join the cult of Mimtology.
Maybe we're not all that far away from Scientology.
Maybe we're not. They want to go down the path of lambency. They want to take the lambent road.
They want to achieve lambency.
The lambent road less traveled.
Nice.
I just think it's double funny if she was the one who was losing it, but this is the one that was
this is the one who's become
one of us.
Like, I totally expected Tara to be, you know, here and, like, watching every movie more than I was, you know?
Yeah,
like,
and I also got that impression even in Fargo that your sister was much more sort of in tune to it there.
I guess the thing is I'm more hesitant when I'm going into things. But then once I do get going, I just go. Well, my sister, she goes, holy crap, and she's like a wildfire, but then she burns everything up and it's done. For instance, right now she's on a crocheting, you know, spree. She's going to probably drop this project she's on in like the next week and a half, and it'll be done with it forever.
Could she crochet like some monsters?
I doubt it.
Nice.
But like,
some monster hats, maybe?
Right now, I'm trying crocheting, and I'm kind of starting it, you know, very slowly. I kind of suck. I'm getting pissed off with it. But then I'll probably wind up here in a couple weeks picking it up again and then just try it again.
If you get good, will you make monster crochet hats?
Nice. Like, are you looking for her to make blankets or something?
No,
or
like hats. Like, you know, like the one, the, like Ruby kind of has a cool monstery or like a frog hat. What is it?
It's Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, it's something like that, or maybe it's like a Google Eye.
Like, the bat would have, you know.
Oh, see, she's already seeing it, man.
I like this.
She's already seeing
it. I like the way
it.
She thinks.
And like we were talking about earlier, and I don't know if you were here, I'm looking for craftspeople who are willing to make things that I can sell through my website for you.
No.
So, yeah.
You're talking about the necklace.
Yeah, Tori's dad made a really cool soapstone Adam head.
Actually, and he
which
also
I totally thought was a tiki, but
well,
whatever.
But the Adam mask looks very tiki-ish. And
yes.
That's by design. That's on purpose.
And he's also made a bat one, and it looks freaking amazing.
Well, good Lord, he needs to tell me these things.
Right? I guess I'll have him take a picture for me when he
Yes, please.
Chance.
Please.
If he's willing to make them and sell them, I will sell them for him and just send the money on to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he knows that if he can't get his message across, then he'll just tell it to me, and then I'll just tell you guys. Cause
well, you've been kind of the conduit between your dad and
right.
I, and that's okay. I mean, I like your dad; he's a cool guy.
Yeah,
I talked to him a couple times.
Executive producer,
Ryan
Fox. Thank you, Ryan. By the way, thank you, Tori's dad.
He's the guy who bought the lights.
Yes,
that
he
is
did.
True.
We've probably
Without
stated that
him,
before, but we cannot state it enough. Thank you, Ryan.
And technically,
Fox.
If he got mad at us, we'd just give him the lights and be like, this is what you bought. They're yours now.
Yeah.
Have fun with them.
Have fun with your theatrical lights, sir. Continuing our little adventure with the Fox sisters. We left Fargo and we were like, we
Fox
totally
mostly the cool one.
we told them about the podcast and we kind of had an earmark for having them be our fire tenders. And that came to fruition that
2 weeks later,
yep,
when they both agreed to be fire tenders for the Katherine Hansen podcast, which was the first time that Chris and I were outnumbered by females. And it was totally fun, by the way. And Michael's still a wimp.
Bum, bum.
See, he was a frightened. He was a scared. That podcast, as a direct result, was the thing that pushed me over to getting another mic. Because Chris had been asking for it for a while. And
we just kept talking to the fire tenders, so yeah, we ended up having these moments where you couldn't really hear what was going on. And it was like, well, would it really hurt to have another? And maybe the only danger is that then giving these people microphones is that then the guest might get lost.
Yeah.
And I suppose as long as we make it clear to the fire tender, only speak when spoken to.
You would only speak when spoken to. You
have to make them sign a release.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand the rules. And I think most of the time when they do interject, it's appropriate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have we ever asked you, you've seen all the movies, yes?
Uh-huh.
Have we ever asked you which one was your favorite?
I said it in the last podcast, but I don't have one.
You do not have one?
No.
Do you have one that you like the least? And trust me, Chris isn't going to get all offended.
Nah.
And he's not at liberty to say, he won't,
I know that, not every movie's going to be for everybody's tastes. And I know that, that's one thing I've learned after doing this as long as I've
done. He's got a very thick skin.
That it's, some people are going to just hate it for whatever it is. Some people are going to hate it because it's in black and white. Some people are going to hate it because it's not funny enough. Some people are going to hate it because it's too funny. Some people are going to hate it because it's not authentic enough.
Yeah.
One idiot on Amazon reviewed Monster Phantom Lake, and he said he didn't like it because a bunch of kids were wasting good film. And I was like, obviously you're an idiot because it was not shot on film and you can't even tell. So I already fooled you. Gosh. So shut up. You're going to be,
posting. So do you have one that you don't like as much as the others? Let's word it that way.
That one would have to be Cavewoman on Mars.
Huh. Interesting. It's because of Dan Shervin, isn't it?
No, I don't know. I guess it was too Xena-y for me.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I mean, yeah, I watched, Xena and, Charmed and Buffy and Angel and...
She is a girl.
Crap like that when I was... and Gilmore Girls.
Crap.
My dad
like
sat there and, had us watch it, every night because he loved Gilmore Girls.
That's right. Mike Mason, who, second time he's come up,
yeah,
who played Dr. Frasier. Then Cameron Lowell was a Gilmore Girls fan.
But I guess that's why I don't like Cavewoman on Mars, because of Xena.
Interesting. And the weird thing about interviewing Tori on a special edition podcast here is that she hasn't been in any films.
No.
And we've only met her 3.5 months ago.
No, she's just a super
Before
fan.
Then, there, we had no knowledge of her existence at all. And yet here she is in our house, and she's totally cool. So that begs the question... Why are we interviewing her? A, because she's so damn cool.
Yeah.
B, we're still holding on hope for Michael at some point. Not with you, my friend. Trust me. We're not going to try to break up your relationship, but we're just trying to get him more comfortable.
Unless he never sees more movies, then it's open season. I mean, come on. But it's the same thing as, I would love to interview Mitch Obrecht.
Yes, very much so.
I mean, I think it's fascinating, as the guy who makes these movies, to figure out what people see in them. And what appeals to them, what grabs them. Tori is kind of a special case. There are a select group of people who sort of see the movies and they become more than a fan, but not creepy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's the Peter Flynns of the world.
Yes.
Peter's a really cool guy.
Very cool guy.
I've never actually met him, but I feel like he's kind of a friend in some weird way.
We've said it in previous podcasts. If he lived here in Minnesota, or if we lived where he lives in San Diego, California, we'd be hanging out, man.
We'd be hanging out, and he'd be helping us with the movies.
Exactly.
I'm jealous of your questions, Peter. Just saying.
But that's the thing. So Tori's one of those people that it's just like it becomes almost a part of that that family kinship thing that almost... creepy cult thing that's going on a little bit that, Jim talked about a little bit, that it's more than just a bunch of people who come in, shoot their movie part, and go home. It's more of we're a merry little band of weirdos. I mean, we really are. And there we come across certain people that instantly sort of become part of that. Mm-hmm. Mitch Obrecht, Peter Flynn, Tori Fox.
Yeah. Like friendly parasites.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a symbiotic relationship with the host. and you're the host.
Yeah. Well, so. even Rylan Bachman sort of started that way, where it was like he sort of emailed me out of the blue and was just like, I love your movies. I'd love to get involved. How do I become a producer? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I give you money to make movies? And through that, we kind of became, you know, we've become friends.
Yes.
It's become, and Rylan has been in the movies, but never more than like a dead body.
Yeah.
You know?
That's constantly getting a door closed or on his dead carcass.
Yeah.
Body by the door.
Yeah. I mean, he was the big monkey man, you know, in the bar.
Bicky was
Mitch Obrecht.
Yeah.
And even people like Bob Arndt, who, you know, is related to my wife, but at the same time, you know, he took his sort of love of the movies and took it an extra mile and did, like, you know, the behind the scenes documentary when he did Moon Zombies and stuff like that, where it's certain people sort of appear and sort of become a part of the group as opposed to just like, I like your movies, see you later. Mm. You know, it's more like, I like your movies and you guys are pretty cool, let's hang out, let's be buddies. Mm-hmm. You know,
one of Ruby's big sentences,
like something really nasty
that she started doing actually at the ValleyCon, but it's kind of carried over and a lot of people are starting to say now is that one of us. Where did you get that from, dear?
I don't know, probably a convention.
But it is funny, and it's totally true for the Mimiverse, because a lot of people like the films, but it takes a special kind of person to be a Ryle and a Tory.
To join the cult, yes.
Yeah, to really kind of go above Mitch. And beyond just appreciation of the films.
Honestly, sometimes, you know.
Other Mitch.
Honestly,
Mitch 1 and Mitch 2.
Everyone was named
Honestly, Mitch. I always sort of look at it like, you know, not that the films are secondary, but they're kind of the jumping off point, you know? Where it's not, they're not necessarily, to some people, they're the end all be all. That's all there is. They like my movies. They come and see them. You know, they buy a poster. End of story.
And nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, obviously, I take, there are more of those people than there are of sort of the people who sort of, that it's
almost sanctum.
It's a jumping off point to sort of being, you know, people that we like hanging around and it's people we've met through the movies, and it's the movies that were the catalyst for us meeting these people. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily, as a guy in my mid-30s, would be hanging out with someone who's under 20, you know, a girl under 20, without it seeming creepy, but at this point, you know, I mean, we have, there's a reason, and it's not,
yeah.
It's not weird, it's not creepy that we just, that I literally, you know? You know?
Yeah, no. The thing about it, though, is that we've met Tori through the movies, but I met you before you started making movies, and
right.
Ruby knew you well before you right. started to make movies.
But, and you must admit, because of the movies, we've become much closer friends than we were before them.
True.
It gives us an excuse.
It gives us a really good excuse. I was even thinking that last night. I was like, I'm so excited to just go hang out with Mark and Ruby tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know we're doing the podcast.
We're podcasting.
But
this is not
it's something
all that,
to do.
Yeah, this is basically what we used to do, except we didn't record it.
Now we have a product we have to put out once a month. We have to do it.
Oh my God, all the pressure.
I mean, this is like the dream come true, man. It's like the job that you love, you know? I mean, that's it's not the being forced to, oh, I gotta go do this again. It's like, no, this is gonna be fun.
No, it's always
we'll
fun.
We'll make dinner, we'll friggin'
always
just
look forward
goof
to
off
it.
And
then Ruby will complain about her bum.
That's why I come, really, is for that.
Yeah, I know.
Likes to listen to Ruby bitch. My butt hurts. I'm cold. Next topic.
Let's go.
On track.
Bus on the track. I hate Lambent.
But anyway, okay.
Do you have a hatred for the word Lambent, by the way, Tori?
Are you
indifferent to it?
Have you started to spread it amongst your friends?
If there was a Lambent shirt available for purchase, would you buy it?
There is one, but yes.
That's right. There is one. Zazzle.com.
Have you purchased yours yet?
No.
Come on.
I have to buy a bunch of stuff. This paycheck.
Look, so. I'm wearing my Attack of the Moon Zombie shirt in Green Bay Packers colors.
And yet I'm still rocking my It Came From Another World shirt, and I've got my Canoe Cops on top of it. Those are the two shirts that I've been wearing lately.
I thought it was the coolest thing when we did Catherine's podcast and I gave out some shirts. And Tori goes on Facebook and is like, check it out. And posted that picture of her with the Phantom White Canoe Corps shirt. And I was like, yep, she's one of us. Okay, I have one question that's very important. Do you like pancakes? And if so, what kind of syrup?
I don't know.
Come
yes,
on,
I like
no.
pancakes and sugar-free syrup usually.
All right, 30 seconds of random.
Do you like lambin pancakes?
Those sound radioactive.
They are glowing. Monster. 30 seconds of random is rapid fire questions asked all
blah, blah, blah. 30 seconds. Ruby goes first.
Go.
We shall not speak of it again.
Are you emotionally ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going in 3, 2, 1. Cat ears or shoulder dragon?
Shoulder dragon.
Paisley or plaid?
Plaid.
Captain Hammer or Captain Mal?
Oh, crap. Mal.
Hydrox or Oreo?
Oreo.
Punk button or iPod earphones?
iPod.
Captain or Professor Jackson?
Captain.
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Pikachu.
What's your favorite movie?
Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Bug.
Do you think I'm awesome?
Yes.
Slam.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Playing 30 seconds of random. We shall never speak of these again.
Yes. And Ruby's choking.
Ruby has a hairball. I love that Ruby always fits in. Do you think I'm awesome?
Can I ask that also in Norgard?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm waiting for the day when someone's like, no. I think
future
you're,
podcast.
No, I think
guest,
you're lambent.
Take note. Answer no. Just to see what she does.
No,
I think watch her start crying uncontrollably.
Why do you hate me?
Yes, that's the next question.
That'll be the follow-up question.
Why do you hate me? And then they're forced into that weird, uncomfortable. I don't.
That's
why.
A beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Oh, round of it. So Tori,
hi.
Tell us about what's around your neck.
I've got this little Adam soapstone carving that my dad made. He kind of wanted to go with a ancient Mayan theme, much like what he did with the his other carving, which was like with the bat, because my dad keeps explaining this, and it's awesome. The Mayans have this god carved onto their stones, and it's of a bat. And it looks similar, Dad says remarkably similar, to the bat from Terra from Beneath the Earth. And so I looked at this little carving that he did of the bat, and it looks amazing. I mean, I haven't seen any of the Mayan carvings, but I should go look up and Google some of them. And because
well, the thing about the bat in Terror, it's actually the design of the mask was based on an actual picture of a bat.
Oh, really?
Like I actually looked up pictures of bats, and I use it as a template. Obviously, added goofy teeth and all that stuff. But the actual, like the ears and the nose and the mouth and stuff, was all built around an actual picture of a real bat. Like I looked up, you know, Googled cave bat and looked up images, and you know, a couple. I was like, oh, there we go. That's what I'll model it after. So it makes a certain amount of sense because I know what your dad's talking about, the sort of the Mayan bat god or whatever. I've seen those carvings. I've seen the pictures, and obviously they're basing it off an actual bat, right? So it makes a certain amount of sense, and I think it's really cool. And actually, the video, the interactive story game I just put on my website, Danny Johnson and the Lucky Coin, there is, in that game, hidden as an Easter egg, a little bit of the backstory of where the bat came from.
Bum bum.
If you can find it.
I'm going to be up all night now.
And it is going to, it ties into House of Ghosts, and I won't say how.
Nice.
You know what's funny? Ruby has put on her pajamas.
Just my bottoms. Jammy bottoms.
Just a little hint. Maybe you guys should go.
No, I'm going to just tell you that Kat is going to save you from the snakes on the shoes, too.
Oh, great.
I'm glad you have the podcast. I'm glad that we agreed to do this podcast show because I think a lot of this information that you're releasing now, you would not have done in the newsletter.
No, I wouldn't have had the
you wouldn't.
Forum
it's not the same.
It.
Yeah, exactly. It's so, I got one more question, then we should end this because Rube looks like she's about ready to die.
She already put her pajamas on.
She's already got. She's got the pajamas on.
Yeah.
I could not wear pants no more.
So you've seen all the films, Ms. Fox, mm-hmm. And I'm going to call you Ms. Fox. You have no working knowledge of House of Ghosts other than what you've heard on the podcasts.
And I've seen the teaser trailer.
And you saw the teaser trailer. You were one of about 1,000 or 2,000 people. But it was only up for 24 hours.
It was 24 hours. I screwed up. I didn't post it when I was supposed to, but I did at least leave it up that long.
Okay. How would you rate your desire to see House of Ghosts on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd say 9.5.
Nice.
I was waiting for a conservative meh.
You know, maybe a four. I'm really not that excited.
I don't know. No, that's very cool. You have to admit. I mean, to have her, you know, somebody who just met us and you and your films for the first time 3.5 months ago, and now she's excited to see your film.
What's the one movie you've seen the most?
It'll probably have to be two. Which? It Came from Another World and Destination Outer Space.
Interesting.
I guess I like It Came from Another World. Like, I watched that one a lot because of, you know, the
big ore fighting scene at the end, right?
Yeah. I totally laughed my ass off
at
that.
Yeah.
And then,
that's one of the best things I think I've ever put on film, honestly. It's just so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous that everybody's
when
like...
When he cuts his shirt, that is like, I'm so proud of that. Yeah. That
that's
we pulled
the one
that
with Josh
off.
And Mike.
Yeah, yep. It's just so funny.
And then I think Destination Outer Space, because Captain Jackson and Adam, you know, a lot. Where at first, you know, Captain Jackson just totally resented Adam, you know, kind of despised him, really was like, about him. But then at the end, and he's like, no, you're going to survive, dude. You're going to come with me, and everything's going to be okay. And he's just, like, freaking out about it. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm going to hurt, you know?
I think they're Destination Outer Space is one of those things that there's so many things in it that I'm so proud of, and yet there are so many things I'm like, God, I should have done something different there.
Aren't you always the most critical of your favorite child?
I love the special effects in that movie. That asteroid scene is so cool. And it's just like, I can't believe looking back that I pulled that off in a year. I mean, there's so many special effects in that damn movie.
Well, and so much digital editing on top of that.
Oh, I know. And then the Oculon, the whole Oculon
thing. I was just going to say that. The Oculon
The moment he gets to that damn planet, I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome. I love the Oculon stuff.
Yeah. But it was also a pain in the ass for you, too.
Oh, yeah.
You had to go frame by frame and digitally remove.
And the explosion of that planet is still one of the stupidest things I've ever done, and I love it.
See?
It's just so... I mean, there's just so many little things that are just so cheeseball, and I look at them, like, especially those asteroids. Oh, my God. And the stuff I did to make it work, and it's like, they're just so terrible, and I love it. I just love it. It's so bad.
I like the asteroids too.
I mean, it's just so funny. And that stupid rocket and the ship and
spinning rocks. Is that what you said?
Oh, that's what they are. Nice. They're just spinny rocks.
Well, and then like the crash landing and all that stuff too. I still think one of the coolest shots is him. We have the smoking ship in the mountains and Josh walking down. I was like, that actually looks pretty good. Dirt? The monster of Phantom Lake is in Cave Win on Mars. Did you know that?
Is he in the forest?
There's a shot of him in one shot of the movie looking around a tree, looking at them.
You know what? I saw his eyeballs.
It's there. You gotta find him.
I have to find him now.
I have one more question.
Go for it.
One more thing.
And then we'll wrap it up.
If there is any one character or situation or something in the Mimiverse that you would like to see come back, what is it? What would you like to see made at some point that you would be excited that it's you get to experience again in a new way?
Probably Destination Outer Space.
Two?
Yeah.
So the continuing adventures of Cap'n Jackson?
Yeah. So, yeah. Just... The movie ended on, like, kind of like, he's on his journey to go get his stuff back so he can go home, and it's just, you're sitting there kind of going, well, what's going to happen? I mean, anything can be, you know, going on.
Yeah.
So...
It's very wide open.
Right.
On that note...
I'm getting tired. Sorry.
We're totally going to wrap this up right this very
All right. Let's everybody say thank you to the one lovely Miss Tori Fox for...
You're the awesome.
...being quite the trooper and hanging out with us till 2:30 after Jim Norgard's podcast. So we've gone exactly 5.5 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you see why I look like I look?
I don't know how to stop.
I know you don't.
It's like an addiction. As soon as we gave ourselves permission not to watch the clock. I mean, look at this. It's already 2:30 and I'm going to get home and be like, really?
Your wife's going to be
again?
Pissed.
Did you guys get a late start?
No. We did too.
And Mark and I both have to be up and effective at 10 o'clock.
Why?
I got to go to work and she's got to help her friend.
Well... You could have just, you know, left and Tori and I could just record for a couple hours and we'll just let ourselves out.
He's a smart man.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. Thanks for listening. I love all my fans. Send me stuff you guys want to sell. Let me know.
Thanks to Tori for agreeing to be a special edition podcast guest. Yeah, thanks to everybody for listening to this. And
say bye, Tori.
Goodbye.
That was Ruby.
That was Ruby.
She's going to be out minutes after we exit this house.
Yeah, actually, she'll you guys will go out. I'll lock the door, and she'll be like...
Sorry, Ruby.
Nah, it's all right.
All right. Good night. Thanks for listening.
Would like to thank you for tuning into this special edition of the podcast, and we invite you to join us next time when Ruby, Chris, and I warm ourselves at the Mimiverse bonfire with... Well, if I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise now, would it? Until then, follow your path. Don't love your heroes so much that you cheat them of their due, and be sure to keep a rockin' and a rollin'.
Now, can you one thing for me?
What? No.
Just go, pimp yourself. Pimp yourself. Pimp yourself. Baby, pimp yourself.
Come on.
Come on, just say pimp yourself. Just the word.
We ask for so little. We shower you with praises.
I gave you sunflower seeds. Those are my gift from Jim. Sing it, sister.
I don't think she's going to do it. Oh, well, we tried. Well, thanks again for listening to this special edition podcast. Babe, say bye. Real loud. Real loud.
Oh, bye.
Thank you, dear.
Pip yourself. Pip it. Pimp.
Pimp. Pimp yourself.
Pimp. 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 It is 2:30 in the morning. Pimp yourself.
There's going to be one day that I don't have to do anything tomorrow, and I'm
going to pimp yourself. Pimp yourself. Are you still recording?
I am.
Turn it off!
All right.
Pimp yourself.